7:06 now a.m. on Saturday, June the 29th. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Saturday, 6/29/2013, 7:06 a.m. I'm a little bit late this morning. Yeah, 16 1/4. Not bad, not bad. Didn't have good tunes to move me along this morning, and my shins still hurt in spite of it, so it's probably just as well I didn't get too carried away. Yeah, I'm late this morning. I didn't sleep in. It's like 5:15 by the time I got up, but now I got on Facebook. Now, I should know better than to get on Facebook. I really should. I should just delete my profile, get the hell off Facebook, because more frequently than not, it just aggravates me. Today, one of my old classmates, high school classmates, posted a photo. It was a graphical chip with words on it. And it goes back to April sometime, April 9th or so. A guy in North Carolina. And it said that we should, suggesting that we should flood the Facebook with this chip that was the Pledge of Allegiance. And there's only one word of the pledge that was highlighted, and that was, of course, God. And that everyone who supports God and country and flag and the U.S. military should like and share this image. And my classmate posted this piece of work with the notice that everyone should be doing this because we need to get back to the way it always was, that we need to start the day the way schools have started the day from the beginning, or something like that. Over all these many years, I think was what he said. And it was like, dude, you gotta be shitting me. In my French. Obviously, a man who did not understand that the Pledge of Allegiance didn't come to be until 120 years or so after the Founding Fathers formed the nation. It was 1892, almost in the 20th century before the Pledge of Allegiance even existed. And it was only as a response to the Red Scare in the 40s and 50s, McCarthyism, a period of time which we appear to be repeating for some reason, that the phrase under God got added after years-long lobbying by a Catholic organization, the Knights of Columbus. So I was like, dude, I was in the military. I enlisted to protect the country, to protect the flag for which it stands, to protect the freedoms that the people of this country should be enjoying. And I find this offensive. I erased it, but it just irked the snot out of me. I don't know why today, although perhaps I do. Today they're having the service for my sister over in Maine, about 1,800 miles from here. And I don't know what time. It's just after 9 o'clock there, so probably not for another little while. It'll probably be around 10, maybe 11. I don't know. Maybe it'll be this afternoon. But I'm not there. Now, I said back in January or February when she passed that, I would come out for the service and that I'd be honored to attend. And If I had more than 5 days' notice, a week's notice, whatever it was, not much, I probably could have arranged it. But it's not, wasn't in the cards. In a certain sense, I feel justified, not as bad as I might, because one of the last things that my sister and I talked about was whether or not I would come to the funeral. And her response was, as I've shared with you in the past, don't go. So yeah, it was...
Good morning.
That was her wish, so... In a way, I'm honoring her wish. In another way, I'm being kind of selfish. But in a way, I'm doing what I have to do. So, the selfish part, I'm not sure about. It's not terribly selfish to not want to spend 2 days in a plane for one day at a somber occasion, not being there for my surviving siblings, for the rest of the family that may show up there, for the friends that may show up there. But I did what I could while she was still with us. And I'm going to take some solace in that. I may crack open a beer today at noon in her honor. And remember the trip I took when we had so much fun. So I was thinking about that last night and thinking about all of the people that my kids will never know. They didn't get a chance to meet their great-grandparents or their grandparents, except for my wife's father. Her mother died before we moved here to Buffalo. In fact, here to Greeley. She actually died while we were still living back in Buffalo. And the call for the interview to come out here to interview for the job was while she was at her mother's funeral. So, my mother died. I had to look it up last night. It seems like a long time ago that my mother died. In part because we were, I guess the word is, estranged for many years before her death. My mother was a difficult woman. She was sad, bitter, lonely, and I was unable, one might say unwilling, but I think unable is probably a better term, to assume the mantle of adulthood in the relationship that we didn't have for the last 20 years of her life. She was also bitter, angry, a very unhappy woman, a victim of her own childhood, and in my selfishness, I refused to let her force me to be a victim of mine. So she died January 10th, 2010, the age of 69. She passed quietly in her sleep, apparently. My sister Laurie, which is why this comes back to her, was the one who went up to see why no one heard from her for a while, been a couple of days. No, I guess it was the next day. She was supposed to do something and didn't show up. Monkpool. It wasn't one of those horrible situations that you hear about all the time. And in January, nothing really spoils too much. So, she called, my sister did, and said, well, I went up today, Mom's gone. And it was quite a shock because it wasn't anything that was expected. I expected, I'm a firm believer in only the good die young, and I figured that my mother would live to be a ripe old 112. That's not that she was an evil woman. It's not that she was wicked. But there was also no indication that she might be failing or fading. And there really wasn't, of course. The problem was that as a teen, she'd had polio, and her body had several significant knocks over the years. So it wasn't terribly surprising. Medical examiner came. There was no foul play. There was no anything that was really, other than a simple old woman dying in her bed. And 69 is not a bad run. I'm 60, so that would be 9 more years for me. But in a way, it's sort of sad that my kids didn't get to meet them, didn't get to see them. They don't have the kind of sense of history and root that I do. Having met my great-grandparents when I was a kid, having met, at least on the Lowell side, I never did meet the great-grandparents on the Wallace side, at least not to my knowledge. But I also was thinking of last night, as I haven't, I saw my uncle at my father's funeral in 2005. He died the year after I got my PhD, and he was very proud. So I'm glad that he got a chance to come out. And I guess, so that's not true. They did get to meet him, and they got to meet their step-grandmother. So they're not completely rootless, not completely without precedent. They've seen my father and their mother's father. They know there are roots back there somewhere. It wasn't been quite the same. They didn't get to sit at the kids' table. They didn't have to suffer the indignities of progeny who hear for years after years, my God, he looks just like you. And now, of course, I do look just like my father. To a certain extent, I look just like my grandfather as well. Although, I have to confess that my cousins, my brother's boys, look more like my grandfather than I do. I'm not exactly sure what it is. It's something about the nose, I think. Perhaps it's something about the cheekbones. My grandfather was a big man. He was a farmer, carpenter. And he was large. He had what my uncle Neil calls the Lowell belly. And most of my life I had the Lowell belly as well. Most of my cousins, I think all of my cousins, have the Lowell belly. It's a certain body shape that comes to men of a certain age that quite frequently is called a beer gut, even though frequently it's not. Certainly wasn't in my case. Good morning. Lately, I suppose, since I've only taken up beer in the last couple of years, and even that very sparingly. But a certain prosperous girth, shall we say, my brother has, or had. I haven't seen him in a while, so perhaps he doesn't. It's not a derogatory term. It's an acknowledgement of adulthood in a way. I don't know that all the boys have it. In fact, I know some of them, at least one of them, is listening. And if I have inappropriately generalized, I'm most assuredly ashamed. But it was part of being one of the sons of Ralph, along with a certain male pattern baldness that has, I think, come to us all. So, thinking about all of this, how my roots are so different, they go so deep, they are sunk still into the rocks of Maine. And whether the rocks are under the fields, or in some cases in the fields, or along the coast, I still feel the draw, because for 17 years that's where I lived. And the irony isn't lost on me that I've lived here longer than I lived in Maine. I've lived here more deliberately. I didn't have much choice about living where I lived the first 17 years of my life, or even for the following five. The military took care of that. But my sister Laurie stayed. She was within 2 miles of the house we grew up in. She was there for my mother's death. She was there for my father's death. And I feel bad that I wasn't there for hers. But because she was who she was, because of who she is in my heart, I know she would have understood. Because it was Laurie that once said, people don't understand us very well, because they hear that, you know, you haven't talked to your brother in how long? You haven't talked to your sisters in how long? You haven't seen your family how long? They think because of that we don't have a close family. That family has little value. And on the contrary, it has great value. It is, in many ways, a kind of foundation, even more than roots. It is how, as Laurie put it, the way Dad raised us. He raised us to go and have and live our own lives. To leave, to go, to try, to fail, succeed where possible and fail some more, but to keep going. So, that's what we've done. That's what I've done. That's what my brother's done. That's what my other sister has done. And I'm at the back gate. I love you, Lori. But tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.